China's live streaming economy is huge, lucrative, and kind of dystopian. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. In the U.S., would-be internet stars turn to YouTube, Twitch, or Instagram. In China, it's all about live streaming. And the biggest live streaming platform is called YY, where creators sing or tell jokes to an audience that pays them directly in the form of digital gifts. Top streamers can make $100,000 a month or more, and lots of people now want in on the action. A new documentary about China's live streaming economy is in some U.S. theaters now. It's called People's Republic of Desire. It's about loneliness, fame, and greed. Hao Wu directed the film. He said China's live streamers are mostly looking for a better life.
Live streamers are very popular in China right now because they have come from very poor background with little education and don't have great career prospects in real life. So the kind of jokes they tell tend to be a little bit dirty or quote-unquote crass. And also they just sing some cheesy pop songs to appeal to their fans. These are the type of content that a typical, let's just say, a migrant worker, after he or she have finished working in the factory or in a dead-end office job, when they go back home, they want to consume this type of content and be able to interact with the live streamers.
Mm-hmm. And then as your story goes on, you know, at first it seems very democratic, like you could really have the stream and make a lot of money doing this. But it becomes very clear that there's then a whole business behind it. And there's this sort of layer of these agencies and bosses, right?
That's correct. I mean, live streaming started off in China as just a simple way to have some real-time free entertainment. But gradually, as live streamers accumulate more and more fans, and the fans started buying them lots of digital gifts, when there's money to be had, naturally, a lot of different characters try to make monies off this whole system. So it evolved into a very elaborate games that's actually mirroring a lot of the social hierarchies and the capitalist pursuit in real life. They evolved online as well.
Right. So then do you think, I think we've certainly seen a similar evolution of internet content where it was like anyone can do this, and then it got more and more polished, and then there were middlemen and agencies and agents, and now it's sort of starting to feel more like, I don't know, television or entertainment. Like, do you see the same thing? Will there be companies buying other companies and winners and losers there too?
Yeah, I mean, technology has these characteristics that just accelerate things. So in live streaming right now is really like the showbiz, real life showbiz, but just on steroids. For example, like the agencies in the live streaming space, they spend a lot of money, real money, into buying the live streamers that they manage, either votes or digital gifts, to pump up their popularity. And in return, they take a 20% cut into their income. And the live streaming platforms, knowing that everybody's trying to make money, they design a lot of competitions trying to encourage all the patrons and fans into spending money to support their online idols to win the competition so they can take a huge cut. For example, most of the live streaming platforms, they take between 50 to 60% of the income. So everybody seems to want to make money off this. And because it's online, it's very scalable. You'll be with this online platforms, millions and millions of people are watching it. So everybody's out to make a quick buck and make a lot of money.
Mm. Why do you think that it's so popular, viewing live streaming and paying people directly and this whole sort of phenomenon?
I think just live streaming just taps into a lot of internet users' needs. For example, like here in the U.S., when I go to visit YouTube, when I look at the content, I also find it bizarre why millions of teenagers consume that kind of content. So in China as well, before I started filming this, I really couldn't understand why so many quote-unquote diaozi losers, the self-identified losers in China's society, they like streaming, live streaming as well. But I think ultimately, though, it's because these kind of poor fans, they are watching another person of similar background creating content and streaming it live, that the content is actually to their taste. whether it's because like dirty jokes or some simple karaoke singing, they actually like that content. More importantly, they like to consume this content live. So they feel like they're interacting with the live streamers. And when they spend a little bit of money to buy digital gifts for these live streamers, the live streamer will acknowledge them in their showroom. So they feel like they have certain control over this kind of entertainment consumption process. Because for a typical, when users watch typical televisions, they are passive. But in live streaming, you can participate in that process.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we're starting to slowly have in the U.S. is a conversation about the sort of the morals of YouTube culture, right? What is the responsibility of the company? Because they also profit when, you know, these stars do these big stunts that might be in poor taste or really offensive. Is any of that conversation happening now? Is there any kind of a broad social conversation about exploiting these hosts or users?
Yeah, it's definitely happening in China as well. So I think the government is actually trying to crack down on live streaming because they don't want, first of all, a lot of young people are watching live streaming. They don't want young people to consume a lot of content that's sexual. At the same time, because on live streaming platforms, wealth is very blatantly worshipped. So the government doesn't want this kind of values being conveyed to the younger generation as well.
Hao Wu is the director of People's Republic of Desire. Live streaming is getting bigger in the U.S. too. Chinese company ByteDance owns the live streaming app TikTok. It's got an estimated 500 million users worldwide, including lots in the U.S. Facebook even copied it, launching a new live streaming app last month called Lasso. And now for some related links. First, a little bonus content from that interview with Hao Wu. I was thinking about the parallels between China's live streaming economy and our creator economy here in the U.S. I mentioned how a YouTuber, Shane Dawson, had made a documentary about the controversial YouTube star, Jake Paul, which was sort of an existential voyage into whether everyone on YouTube will ultimately become a stunt-generating mercenary desperate for views. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but Hao Wu agreed. Here's our conversation.
Oh, I forgot to mention that. I was just watching that. That's such a great contrast comparison. Because once I watched the Inside the Mind of Jake Paul, I was like, that's exactly like the live streamers and the audience. Why the people watch Jake Paul? It's very similar. I was so excited when I watched that doc series.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad to hear that. Because yeah, it feels like that is the way that the culture on YouTube is, right? Is this really, it is very tacky. It's all about being rich and having a Lamborghini and doing these awful stunts. But it just feels, and I was like, wow, it's really similar.
It is, because like the YouTubers, right? They do all these stunts, create this controversy themselves in order to attract fans. So once they have fans, they can make a lot of money through advertising. But in China, in live streaming, once you attract fans, you can then attract other patrons who's going to buy you a lot of digital gifts. So the only difference is really are two. One is that live streaming is live, right? The content is live. YouTube is not live. And secondly, the business model is different. One is advertising, the other one's gifting.
That chat, by the way, was so interesting that you can listen to the whole interview in the source code at marketplacetech.org. If you want to make this even more Black Mirror, note that somehow the docuseries about Jake Paul did enough for his reputation that he has now launched his own docuseries about himself. And it did enough for Shane Dawson that, according to the Daily Telegraph gossip rag in London, Dawson bought himself a house with the proceeds. While we're on YouTube-related gossip, the creator community is furious about this year's YouTube Rewind video. It's an annual compilation that celebrates the biggest trends and personalities on the platform. But this year, creators are complaining that it is a carefully scrubbed advertiser-friendly compilation that's left out any of the controversial characters who still racked up millions of views and dollars. Basically, they're saying YouTube profited from stunts and bad behavior all year long and then covered it up in its big promo video at the end of the year. Which, I mean, wouldn't you? But anyway, the YouTube Rewind 2018 video has now become the second most disliked video on YouTube, with over 7.5 million dislikes as of this writing. Okay, that's all. You can go back to the real world now. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. You know firsthand how important Marketplace is to your life, bringing depth and context to issues that matter to you and your family. As a nonprofit organization, we depend on individuals like you to help us provide trustworthy news that adds value to your life. If you're not yet a Marketplace investor, please consider donating today at marketplace.org, and your gift will be matched dollar for dollar. Thanks for your support.